News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We're going to get the triple dipper going here in a few minutes, but I got to tell you, we got breaking news on a few fronts. So let me just scan a few headlines for you that are breaking that I think are significant. Number one, a breaking story that I'm finding on Fox right now is just in the last few hours, it's been announced that the city of Denver, now keep in mind, Colorado has become quite a liberal bastion, all right? So Denver is now dropping all mask and proof of vaccine requirements, saying their leadership saying Omicron has run out of fuel. Well, that's interesting because they have been one of the most liberal cities when it comes to, you know, pushing for the mandates, pushing for masking, pushing for proof of vaccination. And they're dropping it. So the city of Denver dropping the mask or proof of vaccination requirements saying Omicron has run out of fuel. That's news. Next story, I told you yesterday that we're going to be covering this throughout the week. I expect to have a lot more on it tomorrow. But just so you know, that school choice bill here in the state of Alabama, the one they're calling the Parents' Choice Act, Senator Del Marsh and Representative Charlotte Meadows, both of whom have been on this show, Del Marsh will be on the show tomorrow, have both dropped in their bills. In other words, they have dropped what we call companion bills, a House version and a Senate version, both being allowed to travel. Whichever one moves the fastest is the one that sort of reaches final culmination votes soonest. That's great. Nonetheless, the bills have been dropped. This is a huge deal, y'all. Cannot express to you how much it's in, how important it would be for you to contact your legislators if you're for school choice and tell them, please vote for this. I can tell you right now, I've already seen an inside communication from the Alabama Association of School Boards that got leaked to me by someone this morning that literally has the Alabama Association of School Boards already calling on its membership to do just the opposite of what I said. Start calling your legislators and telling them not to vote for it, they say. Well, I'm saying, you know, hooey on that. This is where we take a stand. This is one of those bills that needs to happen. I don't care if your legislator is already for it. Call another legislator. Make sure they understand how important you think this is for the state. Next story I'll tell you, fundraising reports are in. In the 5th District race, I will tell you that, I'm looking at the wrong list here, but in the 5th District race for Congress right now, Casey Wardinsky is leading the pack. I think he had almost double the amount of fundraising of his opponents. In the U.S. Senate race, Katie Britt continues to be the fundraiser. She has got something like $5 million raised overall. She currently has $4.1 still left in her account. That's a significant haul. She took in $1.2 million during the last quarter of last year, whereas at the same time, Mo Brooks is reporting he raised $382,000. That's only about a third of what she raised. He has $2.2 million in his account. And Mike Durant, he raised $165,000, but he also gave his campaign a $4 million loan. So Mike Durant has $2.5 million left in his campaign account. So basically, they've got a huge chunk of money flowing into those races. Katie Britt is the fundraising leader. She is the establishment choice, and so they are flooding money into her campaign. It's going to be interesting to see how this pans out and whether money makes the difference. Hey, I've got a caller on line one. Let me grab that real quick. I've got about a minute here. Ray from Falkville. Hey, Ray, Phil Williams on Right Side. How are you today?
I'm fine, Phil. How are you?
I'm good. What's on your mind?
I was wondering, you know, if you knew anything about the Freemasons and the Georgia Guidestones, what they say about what they want the population to be.
No.
Well,
no.
It was put up in the 80s, sometime around 1984, and it was put up by the Freemasons, and it tells a number to the amount of people that should be on this earth, and that's what they believe, and that's what they, you know, if you look it up, you'll see what I'm talking about, but it relates to everything that you opened up on.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it, Ray, and thanks for the call, man. Up against a break right now, but appreciate you calling in. All right, folks, Ray from Falkville. Got some thoughts on where some of the stuff I talked about in my monologue comes from, and, you know, never heard that theory, but maybe some could shed light on it later. But right now, we're going to move to the triple dipper. We're going to international news here next on Ukraine. What is happening? How does it relate? Why does it impact our area? Well, it impacts our area a lot. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We will be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right here on the News Talk powerhouse in North Alabama. And what we have learned is that this is the biggest show across the afternoons of North Alabama, Right Side Radio, made so by an amazing audience for Right Side Ruffians. All you folks out there identifying as Right Side Ruffians, we appreciate you. We love you. We thank you. It is an honor to have this platform. I do not take this for granted, not for a second. The day I take this for granted is the day I need to stop. By the way, if you find yourself getting outside the AM/FM range, you're one of our listeners and you're traveling or you're going on vacation or whatever, it doesn't matter. You can go to our rightsideradio.org website. Make sure it's a .org, rightsideradio.org. And when you get on there, just click on Listen Live. And what I always tell folks is no matter where you is, there we is. We got people that listen to us in all kinds of different states and locales. What's really crazy, too, is on our website, on rightsideradio.org, we've got all our podcasts on there, all right? So every day, Copper and Birdman collaborate. So Copper will take the show and you know, kind of chop it up into segments, you know, 15, 20 minutes long, into basically like an interview by itself or whatever else. And she'll segment it all out and get it ready. Birdman then uploads it into every version of podcasting format out there. You'll find all those on the website, too. Like 24,000 right now have downloaded segments of the show. What's crazy to me, though, is Birdman was showing me the stats the other day. We got a ton of people in California, in Canada. We got people listening to us, taking the podcast in Europe. But then, of course, you can imagine a bunch of them right here in Alabama. So, yeah, very cool. Love that. Thank you very much. All right, I'm going to get into number one of the Triple Dipper. We're going to spend some time here, and we'll unpack it some more with Casey Wardinski when he comes on the air with us. So, Ukraine. The Ukraine Explained. I've done two or three segments on this show so far about this, and I'm doing this because it's significant. I mean, what kind of boggles my mind is how certain members of the conservative media are downplaying this like it's not a thing. It's a thing. Now, are we going to war? I don't think so. Am I calling for U.S. troops to be sent over there? No, I'm not. Do I believe this is a significant foreign policy moment? Yes. Yes, I do. Do I believe this, you know, has a significant impact upon the military and defense industry community right here in this listening area? Yes. Yes, I do. All that to say, keep your eyes on what is happening because it is developing in real time. Right now, to update you, estimates are that Vladimir Putin, president of Russia, has moved roughly 130,000 combat troops and the logistical trains it takes to support those to the borders of Ukraine. That's a chunk. And by the way, we have not seen a mobilization like this since Desert Storm. All right, this is like a return to the world of conventional warfare like those of us who remember the Cold War thought of it. This is the massing of troops on the border. This is the staging of operations. This is the preparation for a joint land, air, and sea battle doctrine because his naval forces are apparently on the move, because his air assets have been, you know, put in place. We got reports the other day that medical assets are being moved closer to the border with Ukraine, that blood supplies are being brought in, and it's all related to potential future combat operations. We cannot ignore it. And those who say we should ignore it are they need to be ignored. Now, what I'm not saying, though, is we gotta mount up troops. We got to go to war. We got to beat the war drums. I am not saying that. But here's the thing. If we let Vladimir Putin bully his way around the European schoolyard right now, nobody's safe. Because China's watching. Because North Korea's watching, because all the bad actors in the world right now are watching. What happens next? It's not always about massing your troops and going to war. Sometimes it's about what you did on the world stage to keep it from happening. And so when you see us going to a ready posture, when you see us threatening diplomatic or economic sanctions, when you see intelligence reports being touted, sometimes being talked about in the open, which means all they're doing there is saying, we see you and we want you to know we see you. All right, there's this acronym. I say it all the time on here, but it's an acronym, DIME, D-I-M-E, DIME. It stands for diplomacy, information or intelligence, military and economic, and all four of those have to come into play in good foreign policy. When you're on the world stage, you do not take one of those off the table. Now, for those who say the Biden administration shouldn't be putting troops into a ready posture at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, I disagree. I think you have to. It takes some time to recall troops from leave. It takes some time to make sure the motor pools are ready. It takes some time to make sure the log trains are set. You don't just railhead your vehicles in one day. There's a lot of prep that goes into place. So if you're going to wind up having to mobilize troops, you do not want to be in the position of having to figure it out when it's too late. So now, do I trust the Biden administration? Not for a second. Here's the deal. One of the things that's driving the train on this is the fact that Russia is adamant that it does not want another NATO ally on its border. Russia also believes, by the way, that it is the rightful heir to the landmass known as Ukraine. In 2013, I believe it was, 2014, Russia already annexed part of Ukraine called the Crimean Peninsula. That gave Russia more access to the warm water ports in the Black Sea area. That gives Russia a leg up in its ability to operate within the region. That puts, the nation of Georgia in a very difficult position. That creates instability in and around because people wonder, what's he going to take next? All right, so what's happened, though, is Ukraine wants to be a part of NATO, but has also recognized how dangerous that is because it angers Russia. Now, the NATO alliance is a deterrent. The NATO alliance has not ever been designed as an offensive force, but they are a deterrent force to the aggression of the former Soviet Union, now Russia. And they will act, and the old rule is an attack on one is an attack on all. So the idea that Putin, who wants Ukraine, who annexed Crimea, he doesn't want the idea that, then we would have to deal with NATO. So he's trying to blockade this. His demand right now, his biggest demand, is that NATO never be allowed, that we should say it. You will say it. You will not allow Ukraine to be a part of NATO. Well, we're not willing to say that, and we shouldn't. We shouldn't allow somebody like Vladimir Putin to determine what we or other sovereign nations are allowed to say or do. Well, storyline, I've got a thread here that I pulled off of Fox. This one is pretty comprehensive, and it covers a random amount of different things. First of all, our top U.S. diplomat over there is evacuating all consular and embassy personnel and their families and some non-essential employees, getting them out of the country. Now, the president of Ukraine says, what are you doing? You're making this worse. And the president of Ukraine, President Zelensky, is adamantly and openly saying in the public, this is being overblown. This is not a thing. Well, part of that is because he doesn't want to panic his own people. Part of it maybe because he has a view of things that we don't see. And part of it maybe because some people believe that the Biden administration is trying to wag the dog, if you know what I mean. There are many who, and I share this belief to some extent, that Biden needs something to distract from his many other failures. And I don't doubt that. I don't disagree with that. It does not negate the fact that Putin has 130,000 troops on the Ukrainian border, all right? That's still real. But the truth be told, I do believe that there is some validity to the level of hyperbole we're seeing coming out of the Biden administration, because they look at it, Biden administration looks at it as a win-win. If Putin goes into Ukraine, they could say, see, we told you so. That's why we had to do these things. If Putin doesn't go to Ukraine, they could say, see, we told you so. We had to take a strong stance. That's what worked. Either way, the Biden administration can say they were on top of it. All right, there's that analysis. But one of the things they've done, keep in mind, the acronym DIME, the economic sanctions that have been prepared now include Russian elites and their families, because they have a lot of assets in U.S. banks and in other NATO country banks. I'm talking about personal assets. And so White House has released a statement saying that there are specific sanction packages out there right now that target Russian elites and their family members if Moscow invades Ukraine. And they intend to lock down their finances and give them no access to their assets. If you begin to see, by the way, mass exodus of Russian-owned assets from U.S.-controlled banks, be concerned. Next thing in this series of things, number one, the Pentagon says it's seeing increased Russian naval activity over the weekend. That's just in the last few days. Pentagon Press Secretary John Kirby said the U.S. observed increased Russian naval activity. We've been seeing increased naval activity in the Mediterranean and the Atlantic by Russian fleet vessels. And they're watching closely, but there was no hostile activity. Meantime, the U.N. Security Council has been meeting. Russia tried to stop the U.N. Security Council from meeting. Russia and China voted against the meeting. Three others abstained, but fortunately, the NATO-allied countries that were on the Security Council agreed to go ahead and proceed with the meeting, during which time they addressed the issues of Ukraine. The U.S. ambassador to the U.N. is talking about the human factor. You remember we had my friend Chris May on the show. He has a ministry still to this day in Ukraine. He's been there 40 times. He adopted his daughter from there, and he talked about the wonder and the beauty of those people. And we have to keep in mind there's a human factor involved in this. Lastly, I'll tell you this. Russian President Vladimir Putin spoke out for the first time. He believes, in his words, he says, that his demands have not been even addressed. Oh, my. Oh, no. Say it ain't so, Vlad. That his demands have not even been addressed. And that Russia is trying to will a Ukraine war into reality. Those are the latest updates. In a minute, when we get back from this break, I'm going to tell you which one of our bases. Some of you folks and some of you green suiters out there at Redstone Arsenal or over yonder at the Anniston Depot or down at Fort Rucker, you know folks who are on these posts that are probably on ready status right now. And some of you, by the way, may have some measure of ready status in your own life. I'm going to tell you what bases have troops on ready and what other things that we're being told to watch out for in the days to come. I do believe that something is afoot. I do believe we have to take a strong stance. I don't believe we should send troops. But I believe this is playing out in real time. We have to have our eyes wide open. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. In case you were curious, the 8,500 U.S. troops that have been put on ready status for a potential deployment to Europe in case Russia invades Ukraine come from 10 domestic bases here in the U.S. In other words, they're domestically located. They're right here, CONUS, or at least in you know, Hawaii, that kind of thing. Anyway, bottom line, 82nd Airborne Division, 18th Airborne Corps at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, troops with 101st Airborne Division at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. Also, bases in, where else here? We got Louisiana, that'd be Fort Polk, I guess. We got others. Where did my list go? Here it is. Yeah. Fort Carson, Colorado, Davis-Monthan Air Force Base, Arizona, Fort Hood, Texas, Joint Base Lewis-McChord in Washington, Fort Polk, Louisiana, Fort Stewart, Georgia, and Wright-Patt Air Force Base in Ohio. Total of 8,500 troops, U.S. troops, on a forward-leaning posture in the event of an invasion. Oh, I got a caller on line two. Let me grab that real quick, Copper. Line two, Mike from Huntsville. Hey, Mike, Phil Williams on Right Side. What's on your mind?
That the thing I'm concerned about is us getting sucked into the war over there when China's a real problem. And what Putin's concerned about is not only NATO, but the security of an issue regarding he's a nationalist. And when Trump was America first, he didn't feel threatened. But because of the global involvement with the even George Soros. Putin has had a warrant for George Soros' arrest since the time that he went after the Russian economy, just like he did with the British economy, British pound sterling. So that's a big factor, and all they want is to make sure that there is no issue regarding the issue of NATO. And NATO is a crumbling operation anyway, because Germany's really not, doesn't want to be involved in it. And then you have Turkey that hates us. So it's kind of a weird situation, and we're getting sucked into something that's a sleight of hand or bright and shiny object of, when really China is the issue. We have all these people that have been in Congress that have been bought off by China. Russia's
Hey, Mike, let me jump in with you. I don't disagree. I do think we have to keep our eyes on China. I think China is waiting to get through the Olympics, and then we got to really worry about what happens in Taiwan. Taiwan, to me, is the next Ukraine, if you know what I mean. It's a territory that
a sovereign nation might.
It could very well be, and I don't disagree with that. I mean, what you're saying, though, is true. I do not want to see U.S. troops having to go to war in Ukraine to fight Russian aggression. At the same time, he does have 130,000 troops massed on the border, so it's not like there's nothing happening. I mean, not for nothing here, but it is going on, and he's definitely pushing back against NATO. Where's your fine line? I mean, do you agree with anything that we're saying, or no?
The biggest problem is that NATO is sort of a paper tiger, because we have so many people. Like Turkey is just totally animus to us, and I think that's a problem. And I spent some time in Russia. I was actually staying with Spetsnaz when I was over there working, so I have a pretty good feel. They don't want a problem with us, but they definitely are nationalistic. They aren't communistic anymore. And when I was there, they were fed up with the entire Bolshevism situation, because it destroyed so much of their history. And what we're happening here today with our destruction of our history is very similar to what took place after the Russian Revolution and in 1919.
That's a great perspective. And you're right. And that was kind of my opening monologue, was the fact that we are running the risk of being the society that people remember used to be there and not the one that's still there now. Mike, great call, man. Up against the break. Hey, appreciate your time. Appreciate your service. You call in any time. If you want to call in again later on the show, you let me know. That was Mike from Huntsville. Spent some time in Russia. I think he said training with Russian Spetsnaz, which is interesting. Nonetheless, yeah, I mean, he's right. To some degree, we cannot take our eyes off of China, but we also cannot look in one direction. We cannot become so myopic in our international view that we take the eyes off of one in deference to the other. We have to have the broad view. What we're looking at right now is, if Russia invades Ukraine and their kind of newfound friendship with China says, hey, wink, wink, we'll do Ukraine, you go ahead and do Taiwan, let's see if they've got the moxie to do anything about either. Well, I mean, I think we got a real problem at that point. I mean, not that's an understatement. That was probably the understatement of the year. But truth be told, folks, what we got right now in front of us is Ukraine. What we see brewing in the distance right now is potentially Taiwan, which I don't think is going to happen. Anything's going to happen there until the Olympics are over. But yes, he is correct. China is an issue. But Russia? I mean, at what point do we say, I mean, if NATO's going to be a paper tiger and we're just going to let it be a paper tiger, that ain't good. If you want to make it something, you got to make it something. Tough nut to crack. We'll come back at the top of the hour here. Casey Wardinsky is calling in. Going to talk about some of this with him and see what he thinks about the congressional redistricting. We'll be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio.